Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Nshombe. And it's that time of the evening where we discuss business and economic affairs. And yeah, it's the 17th of October, 2025. We are progressing at an understandable pace toward the end of the month and also toward the end of 2025. And we are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. We are saying hi. Some of you, you are already at home. Some of you, you are out. It's AMA weekend. And we are indicating to you that take care of yourself. When you are going out, make sure that you take care of yourself so that tomorrow is another day. But yeah, this is the platform. This is the moment. This is the platform at your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. This is where we have deeper conversations about issues, particularly from the hour of 1800 hours until the hour of 1900 hours. Here is where we discuss what is happening locally, regionally, and also internationally. There is actually quite a lot of things that you need to catch up. That is why we are always indicating to you that connect with Eagle FM, like and share our page, because you are not going to miss out when it comes to economic and development affairs news, and you will never be able to miss out, because we are indicating to you that somebody who is vested in the knowledge of economics, knowledge of development, is easier for you to make a right personal, professional and academic move, because your moves are not guided by emotions, but your moves are guided by proper judgment, which are based on data, which are based on developmental data, and it's easy for you to make choices. That's why we are always in the
great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
It is easy for you to make choices. That's why we are always indicating to you that when it comes to business and economic segment, we got you. And this is your platform. Yeah. There is a lot of things happening around the world. Russia Energy Week Forum just concluded, where we are seeing Vladimir Putin and other leaders around the world positioning themselves, especially when it's coming to nuclear energy. It's not nuclear bomb, it's nuclear energy. And a lot of people do not really understand when you speak about the nuclear, when you speak about, nuclear energy, it's not only about weapons, but understand that the nuclear is also used to produce energy. That's why the conversation has always been, when you look at the energy sector, look at oil, gas, coal, and also nuclear. That's why many leaders and indicated that around 84 representatives are in Russia, concluding Russia Energy Forum Week. And I'm trying to get especially our delegates to say, where are we? Where are we at that point? And what is our contribution at that conference? And also, what is the direction of Namibia Energy, especially moving forward? I was shocked, surprised, and also, to see Eskom making profit. And I ask myself a question to say, when Eskom is making profit, which is South Africa energy producer and also supplier, especially when it's coming to electricity, whose money are those? And when are we also going to have our own energy facilities that we are not only going to parade there, but that we're able to support our grid, and also at the same time our energy facility that will not only be for national consumption but for trading too? for trading too, because the issue of self-sustaining is non-negotiable. The issue of Namibia standing on its own should be non-negotiable. That is why it's everybody's role to make sure that when it's coming to issues of developmental conversation and also practical aspect of development, everybody must be able to play a role in that aspect. Yeah, apart from that, we indicated that there's a directive. There's a directive from cabinet to say the next 5 months, jobs in the public sector are going to be frozen until March, to the 31st of March. And that means that, in order to balance finance, in order also to protect Namibian economy, that is the directive, it's a communication. And people have different views and opinions, actually, about what will happen post March 31st, and also what is the future of Namibian job market, and what about those who are at university and are aspiring to work in government? They still have to wait for 5 more months, and also how are things going to be done, and also how are you going to fill the gap. But it's also very clear to understand that when such directive is given, there is an exception, especially for educators and also medical personnel. If you are the field of medical personnel, that does not mean that the job in public sector is frozen. It's only those one, and also those who are in the education fraternity. It's one of the tough move, and maybe you can look at it from the point of reform, and you can also look at it from the point of economic strategy. And the question has always been, looking at the situation that we are, as the government is the main recruiter, and looking at the statistics which are indicating that our combined unemployment is beyond 50%. That is our combined unemployment according to the Namibia Statistics Agency census of 2023. And you must be able to see that when it comes to Namibia, in SADC region, we are also leading, especially when it's coming to, unemployment. And something that need to be discussed, and it's also quite important, because this conversation is in line with our today's topic, where we are going to look at the value, the importance, and how we should be able to promote, upgrade, and improve the vocational training education, and also how to bring it closer or bring it parallel to the mainstream academic, how to delete out of those wrong perceptions, wrong views, wrong reasoning, especially to the students or those who went to vocational training institution, and how should vocational training, skills must be a compulsory from primary school until secondary school, so that, look at it this way. When you look around you, you look at the table that you are putting your hands into. You look at the chair that you are sitting into. You look at the building that you are in. Then you look at the machines that you have. Then you also be able also to look at, the road that you travel on. Look at electrical wireless. Look at many other objects that you see, because it's indicated that God created man made non-living things, and most of the things that you are seeing are made from the mind of an individual, and that person find those who can apply vocational and technical skills in building and establish those structure. You cannot have a building without a vocational training graduate. You cannot have an assemble of car without a vocational training graduate. You cannot be able to have a setup in the office without a vocational training graduate. That's why a professor of law, a professor of economics, a professor of governance, a professor of psychology need a vocational training graduate for him or her to operate efficiently and properly. When you look at the suit that you are wearing, when you look at the techies that you are putting on, those are the work of those who studied technical fields, those who study vocational education. That is why today we are going to look at that point, especially when you are putting the context of the review of vocational curriculum and also the attempt of government to upgrade, improve, and also elevate vocational training centers to colleges and also to levels of universities, to the point that those who did those courses should not just be trained for the sake of having certain levels, but they must be trained to the best of their capacity so that those qualifications can be brought to the mainstream levels. If you have NQA level 7, or you have an honors or a master's, vocational training education must be put at that level. That's why today we are looking at the necessity and also what are the better ways on improving that. Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment, as it is always, as it was indicated, especially looking on the ground of vocational training education. Maybe we should also start asking ourselves questions to see what really need to be done. Why vocational education did not accomplish what it was intended to accomplish since 1990? What happened? Is it a matter of quality? Is it a matter of prioritizing? Or is it a matter of not giving those who have technical skills opportunities over external expertise? How are the skills of vocational education graduates are upgraded? And also, how do you put this on the scale with those technical experts that are coming from outside? Do you know that at any point in time, when you have a tender, either it's a construction tender, it's a tender of wiring, it's a tender of manufacturing, do you know that at any point in time there is no evaluation of how many people in Namibia have certain skills and how many skills we need to import and how many skills we need not to import? Because in Namibia, yes, we need engineers, but not all engineers now. In Namibia, we need vocational training, experts, but not all of them, because Namibian vocational training centers, Namibian colleges, such as NIMT and many others have been training these people. But the question is that where are we drawing the line? Where are we drawing the line between importing skills and also, utilizing the skills that you have? And also maybe to go back and ask ourselves questions to say, why are we stuck when we have those who can do the job? What is missing in education curriculum, particularly the vocational education curriculum? And I was very happy actually when there was a launch of a task force to oversee the transformation of state-owned vocational training center into technical vocational education. I was very happy to see that, especially when you look at what the president has communicated, and also those who are involved in the transformation of vocational training centers into college, and also to upgrade the levels of education. Maybe before we go there, we need to ask, what is that we have done wrong? Because there have been always an aspect of research, project management, and also business skills which are lacking within our vocational training graduates. That's why when you speak about somebody who has practical skills, vocational training graduates are people that are exposed to industrial practical experience, and these are the people who are supposed to make sure that when it's coming to building of industries, when it's coming to building of businesses, they were supposed to be at the forefront. And I was very happy actually, especially when I got into the conversation with Dr. Robbie Amadira, who indicated that opportunities for young people is non-negotiable. Opportunity to young people is non-negotiable, and he indicated what he started, and he indicated also things like how he gave first start to those young people to make sure that they produce or they come up with products and also contribute to the national development. Maybe let us look at the aspect of what are these young people, or what are these graduate of vocational training center have learned really? What did they learn from their vocational training centers, and why is very difficult for them to thrive within the job market? Because when you see people who are the artisans, the welders, the pipe fitters, fit and turners, electrical, graduate, millites, bricklayers, you speak about those who did carpentries, and many others. When you find that of who has practical experience and who have exposure to business, you can't compete with him. You cannot compete with him because these people are building industries. We are not supposed to have competition, especially when it's coming to making of furniture, especially when it's coming to making of decorations at houses and also at malls. We are supposed to have our own people. And what are you going to do about it? And maybe we should also ask ourselves questions to say, when we say universities and vocational training institutions, who brought us to that level of undermining them? Who brought us to that?
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
To that level of undermining them. Who brought us to that level of undermining them to say vocational training is an option, after you don't make it to the mainstream academy? And even the thinking, it was already downgraded. The thinking about a vocational training, it was already downgraded. But now we are realizing to say, for you to come up with either is green energy, either is oil plant, either is a nuclear plant, you need artisans. And that thing must sink into our mind that you cannot operate an industry without artisans. And also the investment in education, the investment in vocational training education should not be optional, should be a priority. And not only a priority in terms of giving people education, people must be able to get quality education, because there is absolute difference between education that we are getting and also quality education, because quality education can assist a person to go beyond the odds. Now, I want you to take this time and also to listen to one of the participants in a real practical vocational education, and what she has to say actually when it comes to vocational education, especially in Africa, the challenge in the job market, and also what put Africans in the map and how we can improve also.
How frustrating can that be? A young person entering the world of work just to find that the theoretical knowledge is not enough. But why is experience so critical? Practical skills makes a lasting difference in every single individual life and in a community. So we need training that combines your classroom training with real-world practical experience. So in 2006, South Africa were on its way to democracy. My husband and I, in public sector secure jobs with benefits. but I witness a troubling trend. Young people leaving school with dreams that quickly fade in the system that is overly focused on academic. Many young graduates enter the world of work with impressive CVs and qualifications, with no practical experience that is so desperately needed by our employers. With the current unemployment rate of the youth in South Africa standing on a staggering 45.5%, very much higher than the national 32.9%, this is not only statistics. This is a call for action.
Yes, those are the words of NC Hanse from South Africa, especially when it's coming to advocating of upgrading and also making sure that vocational training education is prioritized. And it's not only the case in Namibia, it's also the case in South Africa. But the question that we are continuing to ask is to say, how can we move forward, looking at the fact that, today we are speaking about freezing of jobs or freezing of advertisement of posts in public sector until March 2026. And you're asking about that gap. How are the Namibian going to be absorbed in the public sector? But we must also be very clear, and we must also be able to understand that when you speak about public sector, it's one of the bloated public sector where you find that everybody is aiming and everybody also is looking toward that job security. However, the economy cannot allow everybody to be absorbed. That's why when you're looking at this sector of vocational training education, we are looking at this sector with positive mindset. And we're also asking critical questions to say, when this transformation committee or this task team, which is tasked and charged with the responsibility of making sure that they reassess the content of vocational training education, and also to make sure that when it comes to the level of college, the quality of vocational education must be upgraded to the level of college. I want to ask the question to say, what will be the way forward? What will be some of the outcome? When are they going to be done? And also, how long is it going to take to see a real transformation? Because it's one thing to review a curriculum. It's one thing to make sure that that curriculum is practical, that the content that you are using is practical, and the content that you are using is useful and can make those, graduate competitive. Because what we are looking at, it is competitive. There was a time I visited a certain facility where one of the industrial leaders speak about the future of Namibia. Then I just asked to say, where this plantation, we are at this facility. But when I look at these materials, when I look at these barrels, when I look at these drums, and also just the art of work of artisan, then I ask the questions to say, how many of these things are made by Namibians? And we import some from South Africa, some are coming from Germany, some are coming from outside. But I've asked the questions to say, okay, if they are coming from Germany, are these things not being able to be made by people in Namibia, especially when you are building an industry? Part of it. Say no, yes, but why can't we prioritize that? If we are able to make, if we can be able to produce, for example, iron, why can't we produce the fixer, the connector of that? What is our artisan doing? Are they just working in the mine? Or they are just fixing smaller pipes? Are they part of bigger industries? Is somebody who graduated from a vocational training center in Namibia with a certificate in welding be able to be competitive, be able to work in the industry in Germany? Is that the level of education that we are giving our people being able to allow them to build industry or just to work somewhere where a person can just get bread and butter? How can we make sure that when we speak about a degree in, let me say, a BTEC in vocational education and a degree in economics, why can't we level that at the same level? Why can't we learn from China, where somebody who is in grade one is already learning the art of work, especially those with interest in vocational education? And for how long are you going to speak about integration of entrepreneurial skills that those who are, you know, at a vocational training center can be able to start their own business? Because it's actually very disheartening to see somebody who is really good at doing what he's doing, but when it's coming to drafting of a business plan, when it's coming to presentation skills, when it's coming to understanding the basic, financial statement, when it's coming to application of, a tender, these were supposed to be things that were supposed to be taught at the vocational training. Not really to say everybody should be able to go and apply for a tender, but we are just saying the basic business skills, because vocational training center or vocational education is attached to building of industries. It's the same thing, because if we look inward, then we speak about SDG 4. If we look inward, then we speak about SDG 4. We may be able to see that quality education must not only be seen on qualification, but must be able to be seen on the output of that qualification. But now, while we are here, how can we change the thinking, the mentality, and also the views of educators, of parents, of investors, of industrial leaders to prioritize vocational education? Because the argument here is that if something is stuck in the mind of a person to say it's only those who thrive in the mainstream academy, it's only those who thrive at theories that they'll be able to make it in life. But while we are putting down vocational education, little did we know that after a very long way, after a very long day at an office, you have to make sure that you pay an artisan, you pay a builder, you pay a welder so that he can fix your house, so that he can build your house, so that he can fix your car, so that he can build the roads that you are working on. Why can't we focus on those industries? And we have a lot of good friends, especially as Namibia, to say, why can't we complain much and we also praise much, because China is our good friend. Namibia is a very good friend of Namibia, but we must also come to the reality of the fact that there is much that we can learn, or we can take valuable things from our friends such as China, from our trade partners such as Japan, from Russia, UK and the US. We can get those experienced people that they can come and advance our vocational education. And also the issue of rewards and academic at the highest level. Let's find somebody who has a BTEC in vocational training education, a PhD in welding, and an expert in pipe fitting. It should not just be a short-term course, or just, to make sure that you go through, but something that even when a student has 42 points or has 50 points and all the grade one and say, no, I want to do pipe fitting, let that student go and study that, because you do not know that he's going to be one of the best engineers in that area, or one of the best innovators in that area. You know, we have and I do not want to mention even names of towns and village councils around Namibia, but we have a lot of deployed graduates of pipe fitting and also plumbers, but sewages are running everywhere. A person cannot even be able to read the map. Underground map. Person cannot be able to read an underground map. How many of sewages have been, leaking. Some can even go to 3 weeks without being fixed. Then that is already questioning the quality of the products that you have within your town council, the quality of the product that you have within your village council, the quality of the products that you have within your city. But the beauty part is here. Namibia is going through transformation. Although challenges are on their way, there is always something that we must be proud about. And there's always something that, not really to say we must be boast about, but the direction that we are moving, if we start doing what we are saying we are going to do, there is no doubt. But if people do not understand the value and the necessity of upgrading vocational training education, and I'm blaming this, not really to blame directly, but I'm pointing this especially to the guardians who did not think beyond what was put into our heads by Bantu education. To say a successful person is only a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, and a nurse. Then you ask yourself this question to say, who built those bigger buildings that you are looking at? Who fixed those? Who came up with those cars? Are these doctors? Who came up with those machines that you guys are using? Who is connecting the electricity? Who is putting on the flame doors? Who is creating real stuff? Apart from theories, apart from, intellectual, skills. Then you realize to say that 80% of the structure that you are seeing, or 85% of the structure that you are seeing, were created by those who we thought they were not of value. But if you are speaking now about industrialization, how can we upgrade that vocational education? And the other thing, when somebody is speaking about vocation, one must be able to be very clear that even on its own, the term vocation is more on head, work, practical skills. These are the only students, these are the only graduates who have more practical skills, because you are being taught how it is done. Because everything that you are going to do is creating, is fixing, is solving problems. But how are we moving? And I'm yet to see the result of that study. I'm yet to see the result of that study, especially with the task team on vocational training education. And also to see that when it's coming to upgrading of qualification, it's only a matter of upgradation, or it's really upgrading of qualification that are going to assist our people. Because remember, education transformation is not the first time. It's not coming for the first time in Namibia. Education transformation started a long time ago, when the sector of education realized that we need to improve the quality of knowledge and capacity and content of our educators that are in our education system, from primary school to high school, to make sure that we do not only end at the diploma level. We must get away with teacher's college. Let us elevate the education of the Namibian people. Honours degree, master's and PhD in education. A teacher who is qualified until a doctorate. But the question can always also remain to say, after that upgradation, what do we have differently? What do we have differently when it comes to the results which are coming out from that education? Whose advice are we following? Whose advice are we following? And also, to whose advantage is our upgradation? Because now we have qualified educators, we have qualified professionals, but it's very difficult. We are speaking about the job market. The situation in the job market is not conducive. Where we trained at university about real practical business skills, not only theories, not only defining what is a product and who is a supplier, but where we really taught about practical business. Maybe it's also high time that we must expand this conversation also to see that When you speak about industrialization, when you speak about Vision 2030, when you speak about African Agenda 2063, let us move away from the classroom. Because the classroom is just sitting and understanding theories. But how can I test my theory if I'm not given an opportunity to upgrade or to see what I was taught? Yeah, because some of us, we were lucky. Because 80% of my university education, and I'm not blaming anyone, I'm very happy, and I'm very happy for the education which I got. I love it so much. But the fact of the matter is remain here that 80% of the content that we got is understanding, is theories. Then the practical part, you get it yourself when you get into the field. The practical part, you get it yourself when you get into the field. But the beauty part of things are here. When you look at vocational training center, they make sure that every time, after a very short course, they send their student to vocational training education. But there's something that, they forget to do, which is making sure that when they send their kids to this, internship to get the practical skills, they must also instill the entrepreneurship mindset to those people. Because one of my friend, and I like repeating this to say, when she posted on her status to say, man, you know, when I was at university, our professors are always telling us to say, no, industries will fight for you, companies will fight for you, employers will fight for you, and you have a lot of options to do that. Yes, it's a very good motivation, but what is the reality on the ground? What is the reality on the ground? Where are our vocational training graduates, and at what level are they able to go to continue educating themselves? Is the limit only at level 4 or at level 3? Is that the end? And what does it mean when you go beyond level 4? What does it mean? What is going to be different from that? Are you just going to become a technician? Or you are going to be beyond that? Because if we start rethinking, if we start relooking at what went wrong, then it's easier for us also to look at what is right or what we can do differently. Because if we go back and say, man, I think we neglected the vocational education, but we are talking about building. When you are building structures, we are always calling people from the outside. Or when we are building bigger complex or bigger, industry, our artisans are just hand angle. They are just assistants, but they are not really at the center of industries. They are there at somebody's building a mall, but they are there just, to assist, to give tools, but they cannot be there making plans that they understand. Somebody coming from a vocational training, working for a town council or city council, when the sewage is leaking, she or he is there just waiting for a senior, somebody who has been in the field, to come and assist. That was supposed to be the basic things that they were supposed to do at a vocational training center. They were supposed to, when they come to the field, they come up with different, better plan, better system, even to say, no, this sewage is always leaking because the positioning of this, it was apartheid, planning. Now we have advanced way of planning. Now we can put on new pipes. Now we can also, reduce pressure of the movement of this sewage. And also improve the health of those people. Because remember, without sanitation, life is not, complete. Those are some of the basic needs. Without housing is worse. Without shelter, that is a difficult situation. Without proper food, without food security. Now ask yourself now this question. If you want to get the picture correctly. Now, the first thing is that Namibia, we are food insecure. We have high rate of unemployment. We have problem with housing, servicing of land, and also basic needs. Now imagine now having proper, well trained artisans, well trained vocational training graduates. When you have a problem with housing, they build houses. When a town council is giving a tender, give these students, and I actually like the fact that the communication that was given by the Prime Minister, and I want to see that to happen also. The communication that was given by the Prime Minister of Namibia, especially after this dispute in Kavango, the Dama school, there were disputes to say, you know, the majority of the people who are saying the school must be built here. When the solution came, the Prime Minister indicated that the school and the structure is going to be built by vocational training graduates. And I'm yet to see that. And maybe from there is also a test to indicate that on that ground, at what level, what quality is that? And I want them to build it from the structure, from the scratch. And if they need assistance, they must get somebody from the college that train them. And if that school stand on its own and is pure Namibians, the planning is Namibian, those who build in Namibia, the quality check is on standard, then why can't we build our own country? Because that is exactly what we need. When we speak about housing, we have bricklayers here. We have everybody who has trained it. But are these people empowered? Are their knowledge upgraded? Are they given opportunity? Are they, there's always an aspect of upskilling, because if somebody has been unemployed for quite a very long time, it's very difficult for this person to catch up. It's very difficult for this person also to communicate with others and also to be part of a bigger project. So, in terms of where we want, the question we must always ask is that, what can we do with our vocational training graduates? How can we improve that content of education? Because the content of education has always been the problem. Let us unlearn. How many times have we spoken about, the inability of the degree to assist me beyond seeking for a job? How many times have we spoken about this? Because I've been giving an example of somebody who studied entrepreneurship, somebody who did business management, business administration. Then this person, or somebody who did agriculture, then this person is not able to operate in that field. This person is not able to run a business, not even to start, just to run a business. Run a tax shop, register a business. They are not able to do that. You know how scary is that? If I have a degree in agriculture and I don't know how to plan, what is my position in a green scheme? Rather than understanding the basic agricultural economics, then maybe work in the office or other institution, or even bank, in the bank where, some get employed into. But what we are trying to do is that, let us discuss the issue of upgrading vocational training education as an emergency. Let us address that issue as an emergency, and let us address that issue together again with the curriculum that we are using from the grade one until university level. And that curriculum should be revised not by outside consultants, not by outside academicians. It must be revised by our people, asking the market to say, what do you need in the market? How can we align with, what you are teaching? what are some of the skills which are lacking and how we can upgrade. Even this exchange program, you take somebody from the field to go and teach, or to go, because there's an example, it's UK, the Asia, US, and also some part of Africa, where what they do is that the university also collaborate with private institution, which I'm not saying Namibian universities are not doing, but they also do this exchange to say, if we are teaching law, for example, let us take, who is the best lawyer in Namibia? Let us take a best lawyer in Namibia and for 6 months, it's a visiting lecture at the Faculty of Law. Because you know what that is? That means that you are bringing law students closer to the legal fraternity, because what this person is going to teach these people is going to demonstrate to them how is the field operate like. If you are a school of agriculture or a school of business, take a CEO, take a business leader, take somebody who is an entrepreneur, even without a qualification, to enter university for assisting for people to see the picture. Because what I'm telling you is that when I was speaking with Dr. Kai from Welwitschia University in the School of Agriculture, and he admitted himself, he is in that field of agricultural science, he admitted himself to say, yes, there is a bigger gap between what we are teaching and what is in the field of agriculture. There is a bigger gap. That is why we are speaking today, we continue to speak, that not only vocational education, not only mainstream academia, let us change things for the better good of, of our people and also of our country. If we have a problem of housing in Windhoek, in Kahanja, in Chivarongo, in Ondangwa, in Enana, wherever, can we kindly organize our vocational training graduates? Then we give them projects to work on that. If they are not able to do that, who is going to build this country for us? We are already losing money. We are strategically, putting strategies on economics. We have seen what the Bank of Namibia is doing. And we are also distancing ourselves a bit from South Africa because of how the economy is operating. And we are also seeing how things are working in the public sector, which to me, I can say, is a good move. It's a necessary, difficult decisions. Because at the end of the day, the country's economy must be saved. But to whose expenses? To whose expenses? Dear listeners, you are listening to the Business and Economic segment with me, David Shombe. And today we are looking at, when we speak about industrialization, how can we upgrade our vocational training education, and how can practical vocational training education contribute to the upgradation of Namibia? How can we build our industries? Who is going to build our industries? And also ask a question this Friday to say, when you look around a town, for example, when you look around your village, when you look around your school, your the structures, ask yourself this question: who built those things? Who put together those computers? And also ask yourself why the vocational training education in Namibia was put down, and who motivated us, who influenced us to put it down? Was it deliberate so that we can also find ourselves in this situation? Because we started realizing that it's not a teacher who come up with a car. Yes, the teacher is variable. Yes, the nurse is variable. But it's not her or him who is building, the road structure. It's not him who is, coming up with the railway. And it's not him who is wiring the building that he's sleeping in. It's not even him who is coming up with the bed that we are sleeping on. And when you look at the plates that we are using, they are not made by lawyers, economists, and, office administrator. And I'm saying with this, with much respect, they are not made by political analysts or political scientists or journalists. I'm saying this not to denounce others, but also to see that when the table is set, that when the table is set, when the planning of development is put on the table, we must and we have to make sure that at that table, every profession must be there, well evaluated, and also given equal attention. Academia must be a transformation skill, not a thing of qualification collectors. Academics must be a transformation skill, field. Just look at it this way. Look at this way. It's only in Africa where you have a lot of PhDs holders, but less industries. We have more churches and factories. And these are not my words, these are words of Joshua Maponga and other thinkers to say, we have more churches than factories. We have more meetings, about problems, and also meeting about previous meetings on different problems, rather than being on the project. We have more elephant projects, more than the one that we are planning to start again. Elephant projects. An elephant project is a project that, was started then becoming a white elephant project. So, dear listeners, looking at our national priorities, looking at our current economic status, looking at, the resilient and also the focus of our young people and also what the government is trying to do, let us making sure that moving forward, we prioritize vocational education and we move ahead in terms of Namibia priorities. And we also make sure that we give proper advice, especially to our students, proper advice to our youth and also the parents. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. Have a blessed Friday. Enjoy your day. And do not do what we could not afford to do. And also make sure that tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow is another day. And let's move. Let's push. It's almost the end of the year. And we're going to live in the good hands of Uncle Fly and also Naluvanda. For me,
no matter where you are,